and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm here with my capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Shannon?
Hi, Jim. We're excited to bring you another episode of Conversations with Community Managers, and today we are joined by a longtime friend of the Community Roundtable, Lauren Klein. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, good day.
We are so excited to have you join us today. I'd love to kick things off by having you just, we've known you for a long time, we know a lot about you. For our listeners, just introduce yourself, who you are, what you love, what you like to do, and then we'll sort of dive into the conversation.
You bet. Well, first off, I'm grateful for the opportunity to reconnect with community managers across the globe now more than ever. It's really important that we are creating connective tissue for our organizations that is fostering conversations and support in a way that engenders real authentic value for time, whether you're in a nonprofit or in a for-profit organization. I think it's really our time, so I'm delighted to be here, share some expertise, learn, and look forward to connecting with all those fantastic community leaders out there that are doing great work right now.
So let's kick it off by having you give us a sense of the types of communities you've built in your career. I mean, I know you've done a lot of work in B2B, but, you know, have you worked on customer communities, employee communities? Like, where does your expertise kind of lie? Where do you like to focus on?
It's a great question. I think it would be easiest to answer that my favorite place to work is in the leadership realm. So developing community leaders, helping them with mentoring, or any kind of programmatic elements where they just need support. If it's their first B2B, B2C, B2E community, I've been honored to have built, acquired, and sadly, sometimes you have to offboard team members. And one of my favorite parts is really just developing the talent. So whether we're working in a global billion-dollar organization that's looking at building a customer community for the first time, whether it's from the actual infrastructure and technology standpoint, or simply from looking at how to drive key performance indicators and building the culture of community within an organization. I really enjoy the work that helps to allow people to work in their gift zone. And really what that boils down to for me is helping to foster a cultivating culture and a collaborative culture. So moving from perhaps a command and control to a nuanced organization that allows and facilitates customer loyalty or a customer experience or a set of information that really helps an organization to drive whether it's new innovation practices or facilitates new dialogues internally with employees or in turn provides a really rich product development resource that can get parlayed into changes in the way that an organization operationalizes or potentially even looks at pivoting and contouring, shaping business process, or looking at the other elements of technology and people, of course.
I want to ask a little bit more about work with executives because I find that's fascinating, and especially right now, given a lot of executives are forced to work from home, and they if they have a command and control culture, they're having to kind of let go of that a little bit because it's not as easy to do when everyone's remote. And so I wonder if you can offer tips and tricks for helping executives kind of get over that and begin to move to a more collaborative culture or mindset.
Sure. You know, at Executive Networks, we ran a high value for time community of practice around C-level executives in specific discipline areas. And the most fascinating part about that was that they are so time impoverished. You really have to have a set of individuals, a very small set typically, that are trusted advisors that can work on behalf of executive that often in the past was on a plane or in meetings. They may not be in a plane right now during COVID, but they're certainly probably on back-to-back Zoom or BlueJeans or conference calls and still can't go through the incendiary of threads or information that are happening on behalf of their employees or their team. So it's really important to have someone that you work with that has that critical acumen or the critical business thinking skills that can act on your behalf to be a broker of knowledge to help you acquire the information that you're seeking. And so one of my tips for executives is to really find that individual that you could ask a question, for example, how can I approach employees with this type of question? And fill in the blank as to what that is, like a really gnarly, complex question about releasing a product development plan or getting input from a customer that has had, you know, a frustration with implementation of a product or service. And so in finding a trusted advisor that can work with you on behalf of you to either go out and run, a qualitative or quantitative approach to getting that feedback, or simply harnessing the power of the networks that you already have or the communities that are already built or available to you, then that individual or organization can really allow you to get that data quickly and synthesize it over to you. And it's not because I'm trying to sell a consultant or a consulting firm. Mm-hmm. It could be an in-house hire, but it, at the end of the day, it really has to do with an individual that's trusted. And so in many organizations, you can hire a community manager that, or a community leader or community leaders that have a part-time role for leading, tending, and nurturing that community. And they could be someone that you could work with internally to extract that information or lead those type of focus group or other types of projects internally. Certainly there are great organizations or individuals that can do that for you, but they can also do things like kind of help you summarize and synthesize information and then allow you to, for example, talk about it on your own podcast or your own video blog to your employees or blogging. So sometimes it's really about just having a thought partner, and it has to do with someone who is fundamentally community oriented in the way in which they approach the world. So I suppose in netting it out, it would be having that trusted advisor.
You know, it's interesting you use the phrase time impoverished, which I like. It's and if I can translate what you said for a community manager, is if they get the ear of an executive, the way they can help them to get the most out of community and maybe start to exhibit the kinds of behaviors that will help the community grow and get engagement going more broadly, they can curate opportunities for the executives to engage, so they don't have to, you know, go filtering through all of the discussions. But if there are specific areas or specific conversations where the community manager can say, if you just pop in here and give your 2 cents, and this would be a kind of approach to do that, that would be valuable for an executive to have someone doing that for them.
Oh, absolutely. And truly, in my kind of extending that further, Jim, that curation opportunity, if you are hyperlinking the exact link to where they can feel comfortable to log into that community site or that community environment and drop in a manner that allows them to share their response in time, in line, it makes a very significant difference. Now, this can be challenging because depending on the number of users or the number of community members and how that notifications are set, it becomes quite important that if you can, ideally not ghosting on behalf of them, but rather helping them get familiar with the environment, setting up their configuration settings so that they're not getting every single response, and finding a way in which they can engender trust through jumping into, for example, an employee conversation, so that it's less canned and less in more real time, where they are actually jumping into the employee's concern about, for example, working remote. This is really hard. I haven't had my clock go off or my dog bark when the mailman or the mail person goes by. So these are like real world situations where they could say, I've had that too, but we're not as concerned about that right now. Yep. We're more interested in your mental health. We have programs for that. And we're really interested in you understanding that it's not about having to work at the same velocity. It's about having you here and present and being authentic and sharing what you're seeing on behalf of the customer. I've seen this team do a lot of really good work for us in the past, and I see that you're continuing to do that. I read XYZ report. or summary recently, and it looks like the customers are all really concerned about Z. And these type of real-time set of feedback for the employees to see, wow, the executives are here with us. They're in it with us. They're doing the same things that we're doing as far as having to deal with kids or their birds and all their kind of unfamiliar setting. And so that makes them more relatable and more authentic. And sometimes those words of authenticity and transparency can be heavy or overloaded. But at the end of the day, we're all really human showing up every day to do something that we want to give our all to in order to change the world in a service-oriented MPO, or to potentially, you know, create new products and services, or drive, you know, value through our role. And so the more we can, as executives, continue to lead, but in more authentic manners through having that curated resource and really harnessing the power of the technology and a trusted advisor to curate that information so you can be in line and in time, you're walking the talk. And we do this in Culture Blueprints. It's part of the community work that we do. And so that would be my advice to executives, to the extent that you can find those individuals. The CR has a great resource for identifying them. And there are certainly those across the globe that you could tap into to help you with your programmatic or your advisory services.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, Lauren, we know that you are passionate about female mentoring communities. Can you tell us about GirlMade and about your female partner conversation network?
Yes. 5 years ago, I took over an organization called GirlMade, which is a training organization, essentially, that helps young women play big through an unconference called Girl Empire. And what that helps them do in a very short period of time is commercialize their thoughts and ideas by coalescing female founders around them. I have two daughters myself, and one of them in which had been very active in a Samsung Solve for Tomorrow challenge, progressed to win nationally. She's done a TED Talk, written a dystopian feature novel. I mean, the list goes on. She won Startup Techstars Startup Weekend, developed a mobile app. I mean, she's been very active. So I've been trying to help her better understand entrepreneurship, business, and high school. And in doing that, naturally, this organization, when we pivoted the ownership and leadership from them to me, it was a natural fit based on my community leadership and my LD work in that space for executives. So I parlayed that to young girls, extended the program, commercialized it, and it's been an absolute passion project for me. And so in doing that, there was a part of the organization called Brekkie for Bosses that focuses on in-person conversations with female founders that are in the early stage, typically, of their development. And it has been an absolute joy connecting them in a matrifocal sense to one another to help them play big and scale their businesses through cultivating heart-centered leaders and a culture of trust. So it's been my absolute pleasure to kind of apply these corporate concepts into entrepreneurship. And we have obviously transitioned to virtual, but it has been a really powerful program. And I've been delighted to see women helping women and women mentoring women as it relates to getting funding, pitching, approaching VCs, dealing with day-to-day issues on anything from capital, raising capital, to running and operationalizing a business, to acquiring talent. So I feel very honored to have had this opportunity to essentially donate my time to this organization and apply these concepts. And it's resulted in some really neat experiences. I love watching people work in their gift zone. And fortunately, the Atlantic Magazine came in and wrote a really nice article about, you know, training future lady bosses, and characterized us a couple of years ago on the Girls Who Code, but of entrepreneurship for young girls. And at the same time, I think it was 2016, Obama invited me to the White House. I was a nominee, one of 200, to go to South by South Lawn. And when I went in and told people what we're doing, there was not a single person that didn't understand, like, how important this use case is to focus on this area when we look at 1 to 4% high growth startups, not, you know, being founded by women. That is a number that we need to change. And so I've been chipping away at this in my, you know, free time, if you will, and it's been an absolute pleasure. So I was able to take my years of work in community and the ERGs, or the employee resource group, and communities of interest or communities of practice and really apply that into this construct. And it's been wonderful. So I'm very passionate about helping organizations with communities of interest and communities of practice, whether it's from the leadership standpoint or just the development or the design elements. And to be able to apply your knowledge to something in market, in community, where I live in the Tahoe Basin, the Reno Tahoe area, has been really lovely.
I love everything you just said. I have two follow-ups. First, could you share like the link or the URL? Like, how can people find out more about GirlMate? Because I feel like a lot of people listening are energetically nodding their heads and want to learn more.
Would you like me to verbalize them or just send them to you so the resources off the podcast? What would you prefer?
Let's verbalize it right now, but then I'll also include the link in the podcast just in case anyone's listening and is like, wants to look it up right now.
Okay. So the word GirlMate is just that. It's the word girl and made. It's something that is made by a girl. So GIRLMADE.CO as in company. And that is a great start to learning a little bit more about us. But we have social channels. The younger generation enjoys using Instagram and Snapchat. I think we have a Facebook page, YouTube channel. But fundamentally, if you look at GirlMade plus Girl Empire, we should be like the number one search result based on some of the articles and stories that have been featured on us. I will say that I've not scaled the business. We're always open to looking at someone wanting to help support us to scale it. But right now we've really just been focused on this kind of local region in, you know, Truckee, Carson City, Reno for the Brekkie for Bosses program. And for Girl Empire, I did take last fall, Girl Empire on the road to South Africa, and I was an MC for an Amplified Journeys Women's Entrepreneurship Summit in Cape Town and Johannesburg, or actually the Cradle of Humankind, and had the opportunity in De La Bouchelle to work with young girls. And it was incredible to see the need to help support these constructs. And when you break down the curriculum into the micro modules and really look at what we're talking about, there's so many organizations we can partner with to bring this larger construct to fruition. So I have some things that I'm percolating and kind of working on the side, but it has been an absolute pleasure to work with other women to help young women play big. And the construct really is about wealth creation, independence, and ultimately, you know, things like empowerment, confidence all come to bear. The larger umbrella is really about wealth creation, and whether that's through commercializing, you know, an idea that you have, or oftentimes at Girl Empire, I'm really surprised the girls have a lot of service-oriented ideas that they'd like to see change, whether it's from, you know, starting to curate gardens in compost in schools to new creative ways to resolving bullying. It's the same issue in big business. If we work with the front line that has 3D printers sitting in a local community in a makerspace down in the basement, and you have a passion of someone who is willing to take their coding or their 3D printing skills and connect that to a local community resource, what we're seeing right now during COVID is just that passionate people connecting together on behalf of a purpose or solving a really complex problem. People come together. Ultimately, it's you know, the good and people working towards helping solve problems consistently over the years has been what really drives people to stay. They may join for a content conversations, but they stay ultimately for the relationships. So to the extent that we can look at really trying to foster that, which is a lot of complex strategy and time and resources, we can create really nutritious, healthy, sustainable community conversations where we bring people into PPEs and solving problems and flexing and being agile in how we approach things will drive new outcomes. And it's really exciting.
I'm thrilled to learn more about that, and I can't wait to check it out after this podcast. But I also wanted to check in to see if you're familiar with the work and the research of Lakshmi Balachandra, out of Babson College?
I don't think so.
So we should make an introduction because I think you'd have a lot to talk about. She's done a lot of research into gender biases in driving venture capital decision making. And so we had her present her research at our latest client conference last year, and it was really, really fascinating. So I think there's, as you're talking and you're explaining what you do with GirlMade, it sounds like there's a lot of really interesting synergy there. So I'd love to make that introduction.
Well, thank you for that. And of course, Babson, being an international thought leader, would be delighted.
I've got to ask for, on behalf of all our listeners, do you live in a botanical garden?
I forgot to put the cover on my birds.
That's
so good. I wish I was in a botanical garden, but my birds are over there real happy to hear me talking, I guess.
How many birds are we talking about?
About 365. No,
yeah,
I have just two, Kronk and Cusco, the parakeets. Have been named after, my children said they love the Emperor's New Groove, therefore they had to take on those names in their little tiny bird cage over in the corner.
Oh, I grew up with birds, and I actually, like, my mom was like a parrot person, and so I was like, oh, there's birds back there, I like the birds. So we are going to dive right into our speed round. I'm going to ask you the first question. You can in light of what we just discussed, you can feel free to go rogue and answer differently. But the first question in our speed round is always cat or dog?
Dog.
Okay. You could have said bird, but I like that you said dog. I like it.
Favorite ice cream?
Mint chocolate chip.
Ooh, good one. I like that.
What are you binging right now? It could be mint chocolate chip ice cream. It could be something else.
Elite. It's a Spanish, it's a program on, I think it's on Netflix in Spanish.
Oh.
Who or what is your community inspiration?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a tough one to answer. I've Etienne Wenger been, you know, a mentor since I started in my career. But honestly, right now, I feel like it's learning from all the new community leaders that are, you know, learning from all different types of sources and watching what they're doing and driving change. There's so many incredible people that are taking on gnarly problems and leading programs that I'm enjoying learning and being inspired by them and with them and helping to, you know, make my small impact on the world. So
that's a great answer. As more and more of the world is working from home, do you have a work from home hack that you could share with people on how you stay productive, efficient, and sane?
I've been doing this so long that it's been interesting to watch all of the conversations come out about, you know, make sure to put pants on and get dressed up and kind of those things all make a lot of sense. I think it's up to you to better understand perhaps what your challenges are. I've heard people say, mix it up, be diverse. It's some of the classics around really better understanding who you are and how you function. I sometimes say, look at what is your best day and then break it down and look at the elements that created the conditions for the best day. So sleep, exercise, having a great support network, making sure that you're taking ample breaks and that you're just doing the same work that you always do. It just happens to not be in the office, but you can enjoy water coolers and do things that are uncomfortable because change is constant, and usually through change, we find a tremendous amount of learning. So I know it's a really surreal time right now, but I'm very hopeful. I think there's a lot of wonderful things we can all learn if we're open to that. And I know this is really hard. I mean, it's terribly difficult. But I do think that we will all benefit by looking inward so that we can be even better community managers in the future by helping others and being grateful. As long as we embody those concepts and premises as we move forward in our day-to-day work, I think you'll find that you'll get through this and we'll be better on the flat side.
I love that. And I'm going to wrap us up with our last question that we always ask, and that is, what is your community superpower?
Oh, that's an excellent It's helping individuals one conversation at a time, helping individuals play big through their, you know, authentic conversations. So I guess backing it up, if I were to be more succinct, it's engendering authentic conversations through my individual conversations with community managers and leaders. Changing hearts and minds one conversation at a time, I suppose, is my tagline. But I really enjoy working with individuals to help them essentially be a support resource and or help their community leaders. We've done some really incredible programming where we work with community leaders in person or virtually around the globe, different time zones, and, you know, infusing really fun elements that you can make things more interesting than just hiring a goat or a llama. But those are pretty cool and rad, and there's a lot of them. I mean, we could probably collectively, Jim, you, myself, and Rachel and Shannon, write a really interesting, you know, QuickBook, that ebook people could download on ways to make these, you know, what can seem somewhat boring, more less mundane and more interesting through that truly human connection.
I did see that there's a farm that is allowing or encouraging people to donate, and in donating you get access to a goat for your Zoom call. So that's, you know, potentially, you know, future business going forward as well. Hey, Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time today. Shannon and I really appreciate it. I know your news is that you're a free agent now, and so I'd like people to be able to get in touch with you after they hear this podcast. What's the best way to get in touch with you on the socials?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. Lauren, Lauren, at girl, girlmade.co. That's an email. That's a great contact. But you can follow me on Twitter and DM me at the Lauren Klein. I also have a website, thelaurenklein.com. But I'm usually sifting through email every day, and I'm more than happy to have a talk or a chat, and look forward to continuing the conversation on Twitter or any other online channels that you might be interested in joining.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.